All right, so we're going to talk about well and ill-defined factors, remind you about simple structure. Simple structure is what we're trying to get to with factor rotation, then look at the different kinds, and then move into talking about factor scores. This is going to be an important discussion about proper and improper factor scores. It's sort of a weird phrase, but it's an important one to understand. So here's the series of steps we talked about before. The number of factors decision, interpreting factors and factor scores. Again, they're not made independently and in this order. We have to consider the interpretations of the factors to add in the number of factors decisions. We need to consider how the factor scores relate to each other and to variables external to the factoring, and how that can aid both the number of factors decisions and the interpretation. And again, the admonition to remember that this is exploratory factoring. You're going into this with somewhere between a hope and a notion, maybe a guess, that there's multiple kinds of information in here and that we can identify those through factor analysis. Remember that multiple programmatic studies and convergent findings are essential in factoring research, just like all other kinds of research. Many studies generate more questions than answers. When you're all done, you have your interpretation. There's always some factors you're pretty happy with and other factors. Man, if I just had this other variable, if I could just see where these two variables went, you start having additional hypotheses or questions. When factoring, we often learn about the factors or composite variables that are formed, their interpretation, meaning, and utility. We also often learn about the variables that we started with that often are different or more complex than is applied by their names. When we call this a measure of anxiety, we tend to think of it as a measure of anxiety. Good place to start, but probably not the whole story. First of all, there's different kinds of anxiety. There's different ways of measuring things. Different ways of measuring different kinds of anxiety bring different things with them. Some kinds of anxiety are very close to medical problems. Some kinds of anxiety are very close to social problems. Some kinds of anxiety are very close to depression. So you often learn something about the variables that you're working with. I told the story yesterday about the discovery of test-taking speed. How we just kept having that other fact. I had nothing to do with it. I don't even think I was alive yet. So it must have been a long time ago. I know what you're thinking. Just kept popping up with this extra factor that had almost all the variables loading on it, but weakly, and it was strange. And what we discovered is that nearly all of the academic performance measures that had been built until that time had a huge test-taking speed component to them. Then we have to decide whether it should or it shouldn't. Should test-taking speed be part of standardized test scores? Let the argument begin. But what happened was we learned about the variables. Multivocal variables, especially unexpected ones, are often an indication that you have something to learn about that variable. It may be more interesting or complex than you thought. Kinds of well-defined factors. There is always a trade-off or a tension between parsimony and specificity when we are factoring. This trade-off influences both the number of factors and the cutoff decisions, both of which in turn influence factor interpretation. General and larger group factors include more variables, account for more variance, or more parsimonious, getting more pieces of information into one. Unique and smaller group factors include fewer variables and may be more focused, often more specific. Preferences between fewer factors and its parsimony or more factors and its specificity often depend upon what you're expecting and what you're trying to accomplish with the factoring, which ought to be represented by your choice of variables. Kinds of ill-defined factors. Unique factors. It's hard to know what construct is represented by a one-variable factor, especially if that variable is multifocal. Then the factor is defined by part of that single variable, but maybe not the part defined by its name. Group factors can be ill-defined. The easiest way is odd combinations. It can be very hard to interpret, especially if later factors are comprised of multivocal variables. You got to know a lot about the population and a lot about your variables in order to do a good job of interpreting what the factors really mean. Because remember, we name a variable for what we hope it represents, but we know that there's more to that variable than its name. That depression score is not a pure measure of depression. There's stuff that comes with it. And factor analysis is not just wedging variables together into factors, it's wedging related parts of variables together into factors, leaving other parts out. Ill-defined factors are particularly common when factoring a closed set of variables, especially when that set was chosen to be efficient, and so the variables have low intercorrelations. When they put the MMPI together, when they put the MCMI together, when they put the NEO and its representatives together, the idea was to be efficient. Each of the scales on the MMPI or each of the scales on the Wechsler tests are supposed to give a unique and separate piece of information. Okay? We don't have 10 measures of the same thing and call it an IQ test. We decide all the different parts of functioning intelligence and we have a couple of each, or one of each if you're really trying to be efficient. That efficiency is a nightmare for factor analysts, because factor analysts are looking for what's common or shared among a set of variables, whereas people who are building scales and measures are often trying to be efficient and to reduce the amount of interrelationship among the variables so that each piece carries more unique information. When there is a general or large group factor, be careful about subsequent smaller group factors. They may be the leftover parts of the multivocal variables, and the factors may not represent the named parts of the variables. Another thing, keeping and rotating too many factors will increase the chances of finding ill-defined factors. So that's why it's important to explore. The procedure that you looked at with the number of factors homework is to try SCREE, eigenvalue, significance tests, and decide, all right, what's my best guess for the number of factors? And then what you will do is you will try to play out that best guess and one fewer factor, and one more factor, with a couple different rotations. And what you're looking for is consistency, attractiveness. Which of these do you think is the better representation? Because in exploratory factor analysis, that's all we have. It's not a hypothesis testing format, it's a hypothesis generation format. So you've got to try multiple things and see what you like.